just can't afford to wait. We've been asleep for too long. We've got to ride on. This is our country. We must fight to keep it free. Wake up, you people, now wake up. They play, but we can win it today. We've been conditioned to doubt, so I must stand up and shout. Let's save our country from the sea to shining sea. It's too late.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Word of the Most High radio show with David James. The Everlasting Father, the Most High, the Wonderful Counselor, and so many more wonderful attributes. How could we not love Him? I've been thinking and learning many, many things at this point, and I hope that and trust that you are too. Now, with this particular show, though I want to finish the robbing Peter to pay Paul, I knew that this was necessary because it kept on me. You know, it's like it kept thinking about this. I'm going to give you an approach to this situation with Paul from a common sense point of view. And I believe that it's irrefutable. We'll see what you believe when I do this. Now, what I'm going to present to you is just that when I said that the Apostle Paul was sent by the Pharisees to subvert Christianity and take control over it, and of course take control over the narrative of Christianity, which is exactly what happened, I mean to show you that this is one of the patterns of the Jews. We have been learning since the beginning of my shows the patterns of the Jews. And all you have to do is use common sense and think about this whole thing, and you'll realize that, of course, this had to be the plan. Now, number one, the Jews have subverted every major empire that there ever has been, really. And this is the mark of the Edomite Canaanite Jews. This is the mark of the seed line of the serpent. This is one of their major things that they do, is they subvert. They're the most subtle beast of the field. They are the offspring of the most subtle beast of the field. They are not white. They are not men. And I'm not saying that they're lizards or some stupid thing like that, but they are the serpent seed line. They know they are. And I've shown you many, many examples of how they say they are. So, we see today, and we see back in the time of the three Jewish popes, that the Jews have been subverting Christianity for a very long time, right? We see that they're involved in controlling the Jehovah Witnesses. We see they're involved with the Mormons, Freemasonry. And practically all religions you can come up with, whether it's, you know, anybody you can think of. Even theosophy, all the Gnostic religions, they mix the Gnostic religions with Christianity. So they have done everything they can through all of this time of history to destroy Christianity and are still working at it today. Now, let me present this to you. You're back in the time of Jesus Christ, and you see the Jews and what they're... Now, let's look at what had happened in Israel at that time. And of course, this is a little bit of a repetition, but it's important to understand. See, Herod was an Edomite Jew. Herod was placed in a high position in that area because of the troubles with the Jews, not the Judeans, the trouble with the Jews. The Jews have always caused troubles. And they were always complaining and yelling and doing what they do today. What do? They go out and they make these rallies, you know, where they go out and protest. This is a very Jewish thing. I'll make a big sound. You know what I mean? And so to keep rest in the area, they put Pontius Pilate there because he was good at dealing with those people. And they put Herod where he was to take local control and to, you know, keep the peace, so to speak. So what did Herod do? Herod subverted the Israelite priesthood. He killed... See, to be a priest in Israel, you had to be of the bloodline of Aaron. So what he did was, he killed all of those who qualified for the Aaronic priesthood. Now, let me just stop right there for a moment. Let's reflect about that today. They're trying to kill all white people. They're trying to kill all Germans of the tribe of Judah so that there'll be no claim to the tribe of Judah but by these Jews who have no claim to it whatsoever. But that is the plan. That's the same plan as Herod. You see? So he put all Pharisaic, this order of the Pharisees, where Judaism came out of Babylon. You know, some of the Jews were taken to Babylon with the Israelites. And there they mixed Mithra and all different things and came up with the pagan Judaism. And they brought it back to Judea. So, We see already the technique of the snake. We see that what they do is, if they can't control it from outside, they have to get inside to control it. Do we see the evidence of this as a pattern of the Jews today? Freemasonry. They couldn't really control it from the outside, so what did they do? They created a secret society within a secret society on the inside to control it. In the governments we have today, they create a state within a state. One visible and one invisible. It's the same technique over and over and over. It works. So this is just a common sense approach. I don't even have to use biblical scripture to tell you these things. This is something that they've always done. Nero's wife, as William G. Findlay had talked about, Nero had a wife, and then there was this other woman who became his mistress, and she converted to Judaism. And the Pharisees tried to control Rome from within Rome with this woman, and did do a lot of damage. This is the pattern of the Jews. They're in America today. They're in charge of our army, our navy, and everything. They're in charge of the Pentagon, which, of course, is the devil, the upside-down star. This is their father, Lucifer. They're in control of our money. So, let me ask you this question. When Jesus came, and they could do nothing else, they tried to kill him. Eventually, they did kill him when the time was the appropriate time. Because he was here to fulfill things, fulfill prophecies. I will explain this to you in a future message in the Word of the Most High. I've already been learning so many things. It's just amazing. The Father helps add things in and add things in. Right even before this show, I'm laughing because he added something in that's going to blow your mind. I don't have to tell you yet, but I'll let you know. So they subverted the government, which is also the priesthood of Israel, with Pharisees, Edomite Jews, that the Edomite Jew Herod put in place. Now, there are people that say that not every Pharisee was a Jew, but certainly the Apostle Paul has admitted that, as you have seen in the show that I talked about, how all the Jews, he said that all the Jews knew him in Judea because he was a Pharisee and the son of a Pharisee. And I had proved to you that that doesn't mean all Judea knew him, all Judeans. When he said Jew, he didn't mean Judeans. He meant Jews. You see, because I don't think it's possible for all of Judea to know Paul or Saul as he was known in those days. Saul was somebody that kind of came out of the woodworks when he was appointed to persecute the Christians. So let me explain something to you. Usually when you kill the leader of a movement, and the Pharisee talked about this, he talked about, a woman sent me a scripture about this. I should have got that out, but it was a scripture you've heard of before where they talk about different people that had arisen in movements in Judea. And when the leader died, the movement died with them. But this particular Jew Pharisee said that if Jesus is from God, you'll find yourselves fighting against God. Now, that's pretty close to exactly what the thing says, what the scripture says. I'm sorry I didn't have that ready. I didn't think of it until this very moment. See, I'm on a, when I do these things, I have a few scriptures up here for a reason, but I didn't think of that until right now. So my apologies. But I think you know what I'm talking about, and you have read it before. So I can't prove to you that every Pharisee is a Jew, but let's just say, like our government today, is the white man or the Israelite controlling our government today? Now, there's probably a few Israelites in there, right? But the Jews are controlling the thing. Correct? Well, that's exactly how it works. Now, one interesting thing about this is they killed Jesus Christ. And they thought, well, this will end the movement. Because they'll all run away after this. But then, to their surprise, as they killed Jesus, the movement grew and Christianity flourished. So they decided to persecute the apostles. And you know the death of Stephen. And these things all caused Christianity to flourish. It was the very opposite of what they thought would happen. See, remember I talked about if you've got a tribe of Indians coming down after you and you shoot the chief, they all run back? Well, that's how it usually works. But it didn't work this time. Just like in Rome when they killed the Christians then, Christianity grew. When people can see the truth in something, they can't help but want to be part of it, even though the world is full of liars. I know that's strange to you. So, what happens in the Pharisees' mind now? You gotta say they're discussing these things. This is the same Pharisees as these Jews today, these so-called rabbis, which we're not supposed to call them that. They do the same exact thing. If something doesn't work, then you join the movement and take it over from the inside and control the narrative. This is what's done in organization after organization in America, as you well have seen. When you can't beat them, join them, the old saying. I remember Comparé Mink talking about, they asked the devil what the devil would do if he couldn't beat somebody, and he said, well, I'd join the organization and take it over. Something like that. I'm paraphrasing on that one. But it's the same idea. It's exactly, if you can't beat them, join them. See? And so you have to realize that the fake apostle, the self-appointed apostle Paul, who has subverted Christianity with this false gospel, this gospel that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ, period. He was sent on this mission. See, first, his first mission was to kill and imprison the Christians. And he did it violently. Violently, I mean. He did it to the extreme. He was a zealot. He took pleasure in it because he's an evil, evil character. When the Jews decided that they could not stop the movement by killing people, they had to go into another plan. And that plan is to subvert Christianity. In other words, they hated Jesus Christ. We agree on that, right? So if they hated Jesus Christ and they hated what he said, they had to send somebody to change what he said into another version of Christianity. In other words, subvert Christianity and take over the narrative. What do the Jews do? I've explained this before. You see, they saw the scriptures and they were jealous of our covenant with the Father. They also were very angry that we got the blessing, that Jacob got the blessing. I think it's interesting that William G. Finley has said that the Jews have never claimed to be Jacob. I think that's funny. It's always Abraham. We be of Abraham's seed, including the Apostle Paul, which I find extremely interesting. Because their only claim to the seed of Abraham in reality is Esau. And what I mean by that is Esau, the white man, Jacob's brother, got absorbed into Edom and intermarried with these Edomite Jews. And yes, Amalek is of the offspring of Edom. And this character. So the Jews have a real problem. You notice how they haven't called us the Edomites, right? You notice that they talk and they say that we are Amalek. But you see, we all know, well, of course, there's something right on the front page of davidjamesboston.com that if you go look at it, it's down near the bottom of the pictures. Not all the way to the bottom, but, you know, mid-bottom. And it talks about this rabbi who's talking about how Amalek is all over the world. Well, he's right, but it's not us that is Amalek. It is the Edomite Jews are. Amalek is of Edom. And I show the scripture right in there proving it. So they have a real problem with all this. They can't claim they're Jacob, yet they claim to be Israel. Isn't that interesting? They claim to be Abraham's seed, as they did in John chapter 8, but if they were of Abraham's seed, they would have loved Jesus Christ and done the works of Abraham. You see, so we know that they're not legitimate. We know that they're not. They have a lot of problems, and they rely on everyone's ignorance of the scriptures. Now, let me give you the little gem. The Old Testament, older part of the Testament, I had to correct myself, with Paul's gospel negating the law, abolishing the law, saying that the law has been done away with, right? Means that we have no need for those scriptures anymore. That's where they get the idea from. See, if the law is gone, the law is in the older part of the Testament. And there you have a little bit of a problem, don't you? Really, it's a huge problem. But you see where the Jewish version of Christianity gets this from. In other words, if the law has been abolished, there's no need for the older part of the Testament. You can just throw that into the garbage. And besides, that's Jews' history. You see, that's the whole thing, is they do not want you and I to know what the law is. They don't want you to know who Amalek is. They don't want you to know who the Edomites are. They don't want you to know that the Father does not want you to eat certain things and has all 759 laws and statutes. They don't want you to know the law. They don't want you to obey the law. That's the real key to it. You see, by saying that the law has been fulfilled, it means you don't have any interest or any need to know what the law was because it's no longer viable. It's no longer needed. But dear fellows and dear women, let me read you a little something. Let's think about this logically. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Let me just stop right there now. If the law is done with, why is John even talking about the commandments and keeping the commandments? If Jesus, his death on the cross and resurrection, took care of this law, then we don't need to obey his, keep his commandments, right? What would be the need? You see the difference between Paul and everybody else? Paul not only is juxtaposed to Jesus Christ and his gospel, but he's juxtaposed to all the rest of the newer part of the Testament. Here's another one, John 15:10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Well, if you throw away the older part of the Testament and you're not interested, how, this is the key, how would you know how to obey the commandments? Yes, now the gears in your mind are working. 1 John 2:3. Listen to this. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. Now listen. There are many that come to me in the last days saying that they, I really should just get this scripture, but you know the one I'm saying, I have done this and I have done that. And he said, depart me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Sorry for paraphrasing in this right now, but I got to keep on where I am right here. I just want you to understand that they did not know him. Why do you think it is that they did not know him? They did works in his name. They cast out devils. They did all these things that they do in the Jewish version of Christianity. But he said, I never knew you. Why is that? Because they did not keep his commandments. That's why. Why do I know that? Because it says, and hereby we do know that we know him. So how can you know the Father? And John's telling you this, how this is done. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. And how could we know him and his commandments if the older part of the Testament is thrown in the trash? See, this is the key, ladies and gentlemen. Let me explain it to you this way. The Jews spend all of their time and all of their money in trying to get us to break the commandments of God. They're even trying to, they are, you know, doing this, actively doing this, and have been doing this for forever. I mean, forever since they've been, this seed line has been around. This is part of the war. This is part of the test. They want you to marry out of your race, thus disobeying the commandments of Yahweh. They want you to eat pig, thus disobeying good advice from Yahweh. And, you know, these are just small examples. They want you to obey, they want you to disobey his commandments. That you should covet your neighbor's goods, that you should be materialistic, that you should make statues of things, that you should not love Yahweh, your heavenly Father, but you should love the Jew who tells you that all goodness and even your own scriptures have come from them, which is totally insane and totally couldn't be further from the truth, except in the case of the Apostle Paul's gospel and a few other little things. John 14:15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Matthew 22:40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You know the two I was talking about before. So, let me Okay, Matthew 15:9. This is beautiful, right? But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. The Apostle Paul teaches his own commandments, his own, I had read that to you. He believes he's on equal ground with the Father, and of course, above Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is, of course, a racist. And Paul wants to bring everybody in, right? I'm coming around full circle. Paul teaches doctrines that are commandments of men. But he said, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Who are they? False apostles. False teachers. See, Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law. Let me get that word fulfill and explain something to you. I'm going to do a show on this, but it's interesting you should know that when he says, let me see what I can find. He says in Matthew 5, let me go to Matthew 5, 17 and 18. At this point, let me view the chapter. Yep. Matthew 5, 17 and 18. Now listen. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, if he was here to destroy the law, the law would be abolished upon his death if it was fulfilled on the cross of Calvary. Cavalry. you know what I'm talking about. Calvary. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. So in other words, he did not come to abolish the older part of the Testament. But the Apostle Paul said it is abolished. And the Judeo-Christians of today ignore it as much as possible. Because they have been told to stay away from it. It is no longer of use to you. It is no longer any good because that's all been done away with. No, don't waste your time reading into that. Read the Apostle Paul. You see, he says in verse 18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. So, hold on there. I'm going to explain this to you very quickly, but I am going to do another message on this. You see, he came here to fulfill, he says in verse 17. He said, I'm not here to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not here to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, I told you he's here to fulfill prophecy. He was here to fulfill the aspect of the sacrificial law. So, not one jot or tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. So in other words, this test that we're here enduring and hopefully passing by becoming overcomers and by loving the Father and obeying his commandments, the law remains because the law is what guides the test. The law reveals sin. You see? And so the Apostle Paul has definitely destroyed the law in his gospel. He calls it his gospel. So, back to what I was talking to you about. You see, the Pharisees could not kill the movement by killing the people of the movement. Because Christianity continued to grow. They turned the world on its upside down, on its head. So the only thing they could do was join the movement, and their hatred for Jesus Christ and the truth that he told, they would juxtapose. And just like they do in our nations today, now I'm right full circle here, is they take what they want in our nation and they give what they want to all the other races. To the Jew first, and then to the heathen, the two-legged beasts of the field, which they use as a weapon against us. So they took what they wanted first, because according to the Apostle Paul, it was to the Jew first and then to the Gentile, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile, to the Jew first, not the Judean, to the Jew first. Paul does believe that the true Israelites are Jews. Of course he would believe that. He grew up among them. This is what he was taught from childhood. Now let me explain something to you. They knew they couldn't kill the movement that way. So what they did was they created a plan where they sent the Apostle Paul. First, like I said, first he was sent to put, to kill women and men and put them in prison for being followers of Jesus Christ and the apostles, the gospel of the kingdom. When that didn't work, they sent this same character out with a new plan that he would become an apostle, that he would bring forth whatever teachings the Pharisees deemed correct, and that he was in contact with them all along. This is amazing stuff, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, seriously amazing. This is all they could do because they couldn't kill it by killing all the people. You see what I'm saying? Is this any different, subverting Christianity like this with one of theirs, as what Calvin the Jew did? Once Martin Luther had put the theses on the 95 theses on the Catholic Church door, it opened up a whole thing where many Jews started new denominations. Calvin was a Jew. His name was Cohen. And he had another name as well when he went to France. Cowan, I believe it was, C-A-U-I-N, which is close to Cain, isn't it? And he was the one that said a little usury is okay. See, this is what the Jews do. A little usury is okay. Now look where we are today. Is a little usury okay now? Or is it to the point where it's absolutely just killing us? So, do you think it's possible that this is what happened? I guarantee it is. Because these Jews, through the Babylonian Catholic Church and these other denominations, even up to today, have focused clearly mostly on the Apostle Paul and the newer part of the Testament. Because the Apostle Paul isn't really anti-Jewistic, is he? He's not very anti-Jewistic like Jesus was, right? He's much more universal. Everybody's included. Like I said, this is what they're doing today. First, they come in our nations and they declare that they're equal with us. Then they bring in the have-nots and the other heathen nations of the world's people to use as a weapon against us, and they give them everything free. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul's gospel says. That you can't earn salvation. It's a free gift. You're saved by grace through faith. And you don't have to be of the bloodline, like Jesus said. I mean, you got to figure that all through the scriptures, and that's why they don't want you to read the older part of the Testament, ladies and gentlemen. Again, this is a testimony of why. They don't want you to see the racial aspect of Noah or anything. They've made stories where Noah and his white wife had one white son, one black son, and one Chinese son, Asian son. This is totally ridiculous. And the Judeo-Christians will not look into this because they trust their lying pulpits. Pulpit puppets. Who do not care themselves what the truth is. Because if they did, they wouldn't be teaching the things they're teaching. They're going to be very sorry for what they're teaching. And so you have to realize that this gospel of the Apostle Paul, which invited everybody in and says, oh, you don't have to be of the bloodline. You don't have to obey the commandments and love the Father. It's a free gift. It doesn't matter what you do. Yeah, I mean, faith is dead without works, so we want you to do some works. Get it? And but we want you to know that this is all free. And it doesn't matter if you're a Negro from Africa or you're a Chinaman. You're of the spiritual bloodline of Abraham. But let me ask you this question. This teaching of this Apostle Paul's gospel all throughout the world, how much good has it done in Africa or China or whatever it might be? Very little is the answer. Almost no good at all. See, it's hard to be interested in something that you have nothing really invested in or nothing that connects you to it. And that's exactly what the story is. These people aren't connected to our Father any more than the Jews are connected to our Father. So it's hard to make them really interested and really care. See how foolish it is to think that at the wedding supper of the Lamb, there's going to be people there that that aren't even of our Father's race. In other words, he spent all this time through the older part of the Testament keeping a race pure. Right away from the beginning, the devil subverted the race and produced Cain. Cain is not one of the Father's children. It was something that was done against his will. So the race aspect started way back in the garden, the racial aspect. They don't want you thinking about that. They don't want the world to know that race is important. They've made up all kinds of things. Don't judge a book by its cover. Don't judge a man by his color. Don't judge a man by his race. Don't judge a man by his religion. But ladies and gentlemen, you should judge every one of those things . They've even included the beasts of the field and themselves, these Jews, in the category of mankind, when they're not men. They're not men at all. They may look like men. They may do things men do, but they're not men. Because the most subtle beasts of the field's offspring are not men. So there's just so many things that we should understand and know. Revelation 14:12. Here is the patient of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God, Yahweh, and the faith of Jesus. The commandments are kept by these saints. But the Apostle Paul says you don't have to keep the commandments because the commandments are done with. They've already been taken care of. You see how interesting this really is? You see how juxtaposed it really is? Luke 1:6, and they were both righteous before Yahweh, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of Yahweh blameless. So how were they made righteous? By obeying. How was Abraham considered righteous? It wasn't by faith, it was by obedience. Nothing has changed. 1 John 3:22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So when we ask and we don't receive, it's possibly because we are not keeping his commandments. It's more than possibly, it's definitely because of that. And that we do not do things that are pleasing in his sight. So, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Listen to this. 1 John 3:24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abide in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Oh, but let me ask you this question. I thought flesh and blood couldn't receive the kingdom of God. Yeah, that's a ridiculous notion. See, that takes away all the hope. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and he came for his children, you know, it's not meat to give the children's bread to the dogs. Who are the children he's talking about? The Adamic race, who is the offspring of Yahweh, the literal offspring. Right? So he came for us. He came to redeem us. These are important things to understand. He didn't come to redeem the whole world, because if you haven't lost it, you can't regain it. And so we know who he is because we are of him. We understand his word because we are of him. He told these Jews that they could not understand his word because they are not of God. And he told them they weren't his sheep. Now, in Mark 12:36, it says, "For David himself said by the Holy Ghost that Yahweh said to Yeshua, 'Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool.'" Now, in Acts 7:49, it says, "Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith Yahweh, or what is the place of my rest?" So when he said that he would make, when the Father told Jesus, Yeshua, that he would sit on his right hand till he makes his enemies his footstool. Right? And the scripture right here, "Verily, verily," this is John chapter 10, verse 1. "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." The Apostle Paul did not enter in through Jesus Christ. He was not appointed by Jesus Christ. He did not have respect for Jesus Christ. And he did everything he could to exalt himself rather than Jesus Christ in reality. Jesus Christ was just something he used as a tool in his own version of the gospel, his subversion of the gospel. So when he was on the Damascus Road, that was not Jesus Christ and could not be Jesus Christ, because that would mean that Jesus disobeyed the Father in heaven, because the Father said, again, in Matthew 22:44, and Yahweh said unto Jesus, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. So this would mean that when the Apostle Paul, who was trying to pretend he came in through Jesus, because he knew about that scripture, of course, that Jesus said he was the door to the sheep, if any man come any other way, right? So he concocted, or the Pharisees concocted this story and used their father, the light bringer, as the light, because this was not Jesus Christ. Because if Jesus Christ was to put the Apostle Paul, who was the enemy, who was persecuting the sheep of Jesus Christ, if he cast him down to the ground and made him his footstool, that would mean he disobeyed the Father, because the Father said, I. Right? Again, let me read it again. And Yahweh said unto Jesus, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. He didn't say, sit on my right hand and make thine enemies thy footstool. He said, the Father himself said that he would make Jesus Christ's enemies his footstool. So if Jesus did that, took it upon himself to do that, that would be a form of disobedience. Since when did Jesus ever disobey the Father? Since when? You see what I'm saying? Does this make sense to you now? So, if the Apostle Paul did not come enter in by the door of the sheepfold, into the sheepfold, then he cannot be one of the sheep. See, he really didn't know his voice either. You see, because if he did know his voice, the Apostle Paul would have followed him. But the Apostle Paul did not follow Jesus Christ. He used him as a tool, used his death and resurrection as a tool to create his own gospel. So in John chapter 10 again, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, which the Apostle Paul did not, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. You see? Is this making sense to you now? Verse 2, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. You see, the sheep have been led astray by the Apostle Paul's gospel. They've been led into a Judaized gospel that is against the very one who came and gave us the correct gospel. If you go to Wikipedia, you will see, and I will try to read this whole thing eventually, but I want to read a little part of it for you, if I can find this incident. Yeah, I mean, this is very, very long. I don't know exactly where this is. But, oh, well, instead of doing that, because we're really kind of out of time, See, I was going to read to you what the world thinks about Paul. That Paul is more important than Jesus Christ. That's the way the world looks at it. Okay, let me just quickly, I wanted to show you this. Okay, the name Saul, from the Hebrew name Shaul, meaning asked for, prayed for. This was the name of the first king of Israel, as told in the older part of the Testament. In the newer part of the Testament, Saul was the original Hebrew name of the Apostle Paul. So we know that I was talking to a brother about this and telling him the different things about this, the Apostle Paul type thing, how he changed his name, asked for or prayed for. Now, when I read it before from the same type of a thing, it said something a little different than that. Well, it says to ask for, right? But you know that the King Saul was ashamed. He was brought to shame because he did not obey the Father. So I believe that they wanted to change the name to Paul. And see, another thing says the name Saul means great one, right? So if that means great one, wait till you find out what Paul means. This should reveal something to you. And I'm going to leave you with this particular thought now. If Saul is the great one, or to be asked for, the Roman name Paul or Paulus means small or humble. Was the Apostle Paul humble? Now, he may have been a short Jew and small in stature. I don't really know. But he certainly wasn't humble. And like the Pharisees, he did not understand about being humble, as far as I'm concerned. I told you that one of the main themes of the Bible is, he who humbles himself shall be exalted, and he who exalts himself shall be humbled. And you see that this law did not really apply to Paul, did it? This is the Jewish way of things happening in the world. This law did not apply. He exalted himself, and the world exalted himself as well, because the devil disobeyed the law of God. But the name is very pretentious in the sense of, oh, little Paul, harmless, humble Paul, how could he do anything, any damage to Christianity or anything like that? And in reality, that's exactly what has taken place. He has damaged. Think of all the people that have died at the stake and died and in Jesus Christ and everything else because of this false gospel, not knowing that they were the true Israelites of the Bible. The amount of sins that were produced from the Apostle Paul's gospel are monumental. I mean, they are huge. And they continue to this very minute. Imagine the devil and his offspring, which were the Pharisaic order and so on and so forth. Imagine this plan brought through the Babylonian church. What damage it has done to, and how many men and women this has damaged. You think about that for a while. Because you'll know them by their fruits. Christianity, the Catholic Babylonian Church, and the Apostle Paul's gospel has not brought forth good fruits. It has brought forth distortions, doctrines of devils, falsehoods, deaths, and so many, many more horrible things. Now, this isn't an attack on Christianity. The Apostle Paul is known as the creator of Christianity over Jesus Christ, to the world, that is, to the Babylonian church, and to the devil and his offspring. This is because this has been a concoction to destroy Christianity from the very beginning. You don't think that we're going to wait until 2,000 years of Christianity took place and then try to subvert it, do you? Of course not. I'm sorry that this is the way it is, but we had to find out someday. And I believe now is the time. May the Father teach you. May the Father keep you. May the Father protect you. May the Father heal you. May He heal you. May He reteach you. And may He help you to obey His commandments and to love Him. I mean, after all, and I pray that in the mighty name of Yahweh, but after all, who do you believe? Jesus Christ or the Apostle Paul?
We gotta clean up the mess. You know that's true. We gotta clean up the mess. I'm a-telling you. We gotta clean up the mess.